This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. Greetings, everybody. This is Katrina Kirkby, and I am your host today of In the Garden with UC Master Gardeners. We have a really exciting show today, and I'm so thrilled about it. We have a new Master Gardener. I shouldn't say new Master Gardener. She's a very seasoned Master Gardener, but she is what we call a transplant. She has been a Master Gardener in Minnesota, and she has come aboard to join us at Master Gardeners of Orange County in California, and she is our bee expert. Corrine, welcome.
Thank you, Katrina, for this beautiful welcome. Yes, I'm a beekeeper, but I'm also a master gardener. I came here in November. I skipped winter in Minnesota, which was great for me. And I realized that here in Southern California, you can garden all year round. And this is fantastic. And I'm happy to join you in your endeavors.
When I heard we were going to have a beekeeper as part of our group, Master Gardeners has, I think, about 78 different venues. But one of the venues it's lacking is bees, and bees are really important to our garden. And we're going to talk, this whole show is going to be talking about bees, our garden, about Corrine, about Master Gardeners and bees, about how you could have bees in your yard. You know, we're just going to be bouncing around on a lot of different subjects, and a lot of people really don't know about bees. You know, it's something we hear a little bit about, but we're not really familiar. And so I think Corrine is going to give us a little bit of familiarity with them. Now, Corrine, could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes, I come from Minnesota. What happened is I went back to school about 10 years ago. I went back to University of Minnesota to do my master's degree in horticulture. And part of this degree, you have a lot of classes in entomology. And what happened is I love insects, and I've decided to take some beekeeping / bee biology classes because I was really interested in this little creature. I happen to be going to classes with a fantastic professor, Dr. Marla Spivak, who is a world-renowned professor. And as soon as we opened a hive and I look into it and I took a frame in my hands, it was just fantastic. You hear the humming and you smell the honey. It's just absolutely gorgeous to look at those little golden girls that are all crawling and busy around.
So when you opened that up, that was the beginning of changing your life, so to speak.
Oh, yes, it was. It's just mesmerizing when you open this. And I have that a lot when I teach beekeeping. When students open the hive for the first time, they are absolutely glued to the frames and to the whole thing, and they love beekeeping and they love bees. That's how it starts. To start loving the bees, you look at them and you care for them.
Now, once you did that, you got your master's degree.
That's correct.
And your master's degree was in what?
In horticulture.
In horticulture. And then after that, you start teaching beekeeping classes at the university?
I taught to the public.
You taught to the public?
Yes. I worked at the University of Minnesota for a few years, a few months. And I was in charge of a lab, and we were working on pesticide and bumblebees and honeybee. What happened, it was a kind of a contract. We had a grant, and when the grant was over, our work was almost over, so I stayed on a little bit, and I actually volunteered for one more year, and I worked with the PhD students, and that was very interesting.
Great, and then you start giving classes to the public.
Yes, because I enjoy so much bees, and people were always asking me about my bees that I had in the farmland far away from my house, and I said, well, why don't I teach beekeeping to the public, because I enjoy teaching. This is something I really enjoy doing, children, adults. And I just started at the city level, and people were coming by horde. I mean, we had too many people for the first few classes, so I had to repeat and repeat classes until, okay, everybody knew, and then we continue on and we grew the program. And then, well, after a few years, I moved here in California.
Wow. You taught to the public, and you probably taught different levels of beekeeping, or were
yes.
pretty much basic
mm-hmm.
beekeeping?
No, I taught to different levels. I went to elementary schools. I also taught at the Arboretum in Minnesota, to master gardeners and to the public in general. So big audience and different levels of understanding, and so my lecture were geared towards the public I was facing. Obviously, little children, they are very, very smart. The five-year-old would ask questions. It's just they are very into nature and bees and butterflies, and that was very interesting for me to do this. I enjoy teaching children, but I also enjoy teaching adults, and I do enjoy teaching with PhD students or regular students that are more, we need to know our facts really well, and we have a good, great discussion.
So you had the whole gambit. You had from little children to PhD students that you were training.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And back and forth. I mean, it was, you know, you teach, but you learn as well. I mean, people give you something. So it's just not giving. I also received something from everyone that I taught. So that was awesome, I thought.
So great. Now, you know, a lot of people are afraid, a little bit afraid of bees. And when you said about teaching children, is this something natural that if we learn about bees, that it's a safe thing to do with children?
Yes, absolutely. I think the greatest thing is when you teach children, they don't know any better. So if you teach them that it's okay, but you have got to be careful. I mean, it's not like a pet. You cannot, you know, you've got to be careful. So you just teach them that, you know, you need to approach the honeybees if you have them even in your garden on the flower. Well, you don't shake the flowers because the honeybee is going to be a little stressed out and a little mad. And either she's going to fly away and not come back, or if you're a little too aggressive, she may sting you. Honeybees are not there to sting you. They are there to pollinate the flowers, to get the nectar and the pollen from the plants. They're absolutely not there to harass you or making you suffer.
That's wonderful. Now, I understand when you were in Minnesota, it was four different seasons, and you had to treat the bees differently in each different season. How does it, when you brought your knowledge here, I know the whole Master Gardeners were so excited about you coming aboard and about what we could learn from you, because there's so much possibilities about bees in our gardens and what we can do. How is it different having bees here than it was in Minnesota?
Well, in Minnesota, everything starts with spring when you receive your package. So spring for us is mid-April. We can still have snow. So packages come from actually Northern California, and they are driven in trucks, and they come to us. And in Minnesota, in April, there's nothing to eat for the bees to forage on, so we have to give them some sugar syrup. So that's one part of water to one part of sugar. So we make a nice syrup and we give it to them until we have few flowers. Maybe in May we would have a couple of dandelion. It starts like that, and then we have maple and so on.
So the bees in Minnesota are shipped in?
Yes, they are shipped in. We cannot raise. We don't have any breeders in Minnesota. The season for us is very short, so we cannot have bees. We cannot breed bees. So they all come from here, California. Northern California, they're big bee breeders, and they are awesome, and they send all their packages all over the country, actually.
You know, we're so lucky here. I mean, in so many different ways, and I'm segueing a little bit, but a lot of us forget how lucky we are that we can garden here and we have the outdoors here all year long, where a lot of the country, they can't. It's very limited the time that you could spend in your garden and outdoors and even keeping bees.
Yes, absolutely. This is why when I came here, it was November, and I thought, oh, everything is going to be slowing down and we don't have to garden and, you know, we're going to relax. I'm going to set up my house and everything. But no, my roses were in flowers, so I couldn't believe it. And I thought to myself, I said, wow, this is paradise here. I mean, we can have bees all the time. We can look at them all the time. I mean, 12 months of the year, they're going out and they're foraging. I mean, this is awesome. I mean, lots of part of the country, like you said, the bees are going back inside their little hive in November and they don't get out until April. So we don't see them. And here, seeing them all the time, every day, single day, it's fantastic.
You know, we're really excited about bees as Master Gardeners, and we know what bees do for our garden and how important they are to our environment. But I don't know if all our listeners know really how important bees are. Could you tell us a little bit about why bees are important?
Yes, I think people sometimes forget that all the fruits and vegetables that we have are related to bees. For instance, honeybees, they pollinate about one-third of our food crops. So this is about 90 to 130 food crops that we have in this country, which is very important. It's also the greatest pollinator. The bee is made to pollinate. She has little hair everywhere, and she goes into a flower. She gets all the pollen everywhere on her little head and her little body. She sucks up the nectar, goes back to her hive. But between doing that, she also goes to different flowers, not knowing, and pollinating everyone, every flower, and making us having fruits and vegetables. So that's, and she doesn't know. She works for us for free. And I think that's fantastic. There's another, the thing about honeybees is that we can move them from one field to the other. So let's pretend we are in California and we are, our bees in San Diego. Well, we're going to pollinate what's there. And then as the season passes, we go up until we itch up to Washington State, where we have to pollinate apples. So we can move our honeybees around. It's a little stressful for the honeybees, but it helps us having great vegetables and fruit all year round and for relatively cheap.
You know, what a lot of our listeners might not realize is that we have bees that we can move around. Now, there's bees that we have in our yards all the time, and there's a lot of natural bees that occur in our yard. But there's a whole other industry about moving bees around. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, this is, I'm talking about the commercial beekeepers, and those are huge beekeepers that have, 3,000 hives. And their only goal is not to make honey. It's to pollinate and pollinate all the crops, the melons, the cucumbers, the strawberries, the blueberries, the apples, the peppers, tomatoes. If we don't have honeybees, we don't have those crops. And I don't think people realize sometimes that, when we hear about the bees are dying and all that, they're still around. Well, they're still around, but we need to care for them. We need to protect them because we need them for our food. If we didn't have honeybees, or bees as a matter of fact, native bees, we would eat corn and that's about it. Wheat. And that's it, because those are pollinated by wind. We don't need honeybees. I don't know about you, Katrina, but eating corn and wheat every day, it's kind of a boring diet. So
it sure is. And you just brought up a really interesting subject, because there's bees that we keep in our yard, and I'd love to be able to talk about that. There's bees that occur naturally in our yard. There's beekeeping in our yard. Mm-hmm. And then there's this whole industry, which I don't think most of our listeners know about how these how we're now moving bees from one part of the country to the other. Could you spend a couple minutes and tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. For instance, here in California, we have a huge crop of almond trees. Well, most people know that almond flowers are not self-pollinating, so we need a pollinator, and the best pollinator for almond trees are honeybees. So every year, they have to manage to have 2 million hives.
2 million
yes.
hives.
And about half of them...
2 million hives?
2 million hives.
2 million hives.
2 million hives is a whole lot. And then in each hive, there's about 30,000 bees. We need that much to pollinate this huge crop. This is a big, big industry in California.
2 million hives. How do they go by semi-trucks? How are they
absolutely.
Moved?
Yes, they are trucked. They are moved from even from the East Coast. They come from Maine and Florida, and they all truck their bees. Here in California, this event is the biggest event, managed event of pollination in the world. So they move 2 million beehives. They come here, they stack the beehives in the fields, in the orchards, and in February, around Valentine's Day, this is when the flower just opens up.
So they would probably start in the south?
It starts.
Or does it depends on what part of the California is?
It's Central Valley.
Central Valley,
yes.
Okay.
This is exactly where they all are. And then as soon as the flower opens up, this is the day, this is the time we have to have the 2 million hives. And then they just be busy for 2 weeks. That's it. That's the time of the pollination for almond.
So do they bring them in on semi-trucks and just leave them on the trucks?
They leave them on pallets.
They leave them on pallets. Yep. So they take pallets off the trucks. And they leave them in the fields for 2 weeks. And after the 2 weeks, they pick up the pallets again with the bees inside of them, put them back on the truck.
And they go to the next crop.
The next crop.
Yes. And that's what they do. Those are specifically commercial beekeepers. That's what they do. They truck around the bees.
Now, is this because we're doing this because there's lack of bees, or are we doing more farming than we used to do?
I think it's a combination of two. I think we realize that honeybees are really good at what they're doing for free, and we are just taking advantage of our little insect.
And then they make their way up.
They make their way up and go around the world, and they're coming back the next, you know. And then after, when they're done with Washington State, well, they go back to North Dakota. This is kind of their resting place. This is where they have the most hives in the country. They just sit there for the whole summer, because we have long summers in the Midwest, and then in October they leave and they go to somewhere a little warmer, usually in the south.
And, like south?
Like Texas. And
so they winter in Texas?
They do, because it's a little cold for the bees. I mean, we have honeybees, you know, in Minnesota when it's minus 30, but, you know, it's...
So they keep them warm and they nurture...
They keep them warm and they nurture them and they try to love them and they grow the hives and to have more bees for the next season.
So there is just this entire industry that we don't know about, and we would not have all our fruits and vegetables if it wasn't for...
The little golden girls.
The little golden girls. You should see how Corrine smiles when she talks about her girls.
Yes.
Oh, the golden girls.
The golden girls, I call them. They're very industrious little critters. I mean, they work and work. They never sleep. They just rest when they are in their hives, you know. And when you look at them, they're always busy. They're always doing something. And the funny part is... In a hive, you have one queen, and that queen, their only role is to lay eggs. And this queen is a beautiful queen. She is giving birth to 3,000 eggs every day. That means that every week, you know, we have a lot of bees, lots of nurse bees that come out, and they all have a role in the hives when they are very, very small. The first thing they do, they have to clean up their cells, just like we tell our kids to clean up their room. Well, they do that when they're old. They have to clean up their cells.
Learn fast.
They are fast, because next, you know, there's another egg is going to come in there. So, and only females work in this hive. They are called workers.
And what do the guys do?
Well, they don't do much, you know. And those guys are called drones, and they are important. They are an important insect in the whole colony. But
well, tell us what the guys do.
I would say they're a little lazy, but they have an important role, because they are males, and they go. Their only job is to go out in the spring in a space that's in the sky that's called the congregation. And this is where all the queens from all the other hives around go. So it's like the bar. So they go there. They are attracted by the pheromone that the queen emits. So a pheromone is like a perfume. And they're all attracted. And they have to mate. This is their job in life.
Ah.
Because then we're going to have more bees. If we don't have drones, the cycle ends. So they are important in that way. So maybe they know their self-importance. And that's why maybe they don't work at home. That's their role. But they are very good. Another fact about drones is they smell very, very good, like a flower. If you pick one on the frame when you're in, you know, you're looking in your beehive, you put it on, under your nose, it smells like a flower. Really, really smelly, very good. And what happened is the poor males, they go, you know, they go two times a day in that congregation area where the queens are. And most often they come back and nothing happened. But if they mate, the only thing is that they die.
Oh, jeez.
So this is a very dangerous job, too.
Wow.
Yep, that's it. They go up there, and if they find their luck, well, good, but they die.
I can see why they don't want to do much.
That's right. Conserve their little energy.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that's the role of the drones. And what do the bees eat throughout the year? Does their diet change from February through the end of the year and then overwintering?
Yes, I think, you know, even if we live here in California where, you know, we don't have really seasons, but we have different blooming time for different plants. So they collect bees. This is their job. They go out in the morning when the sun is up and it's not rainy or not too gray. And they go and find something to forage on. Usually they go to the same flower So if they find a field of melon, for instance, this is what they're going to do, pollinate the whole day. They are very flower specific for that day. That's all they're going to be doing.
Really? So they pick a flower of the day?
Yes. What happened is they send some scouts to see, okay, what are we doing today? So a few scouts are going to go out and see, okay, what's in bloom today? And they will fly, you know, 2 miles, 5 miles to see what's blooming today. They come back to report, and then, okay, we know what it is, and they send the bees, and then all the foragers, all the female, go out and pollinate whatever crop it is, and they come back with their pollen from this specific crop and also the nectar, and they put it in the hive. So they come in back in the hive. Some bees that are inside will collect their pollen and will collect their nectar and will put those little precious food into little cells.
Gosh, how exciting. How educational. Now, while you're talking about that, I thought of a couple other things that I'd like to ask you about. We have bees that are trucked in, and then we have bees that live here in our neighborhoods.
Yes.
And they're not trucked anywhere. Could you tell us a little bit about those bees? You know, do they stay in our yard? Are they... They do the same pollination? Do they all look for a plant of a day? What are they eating?
Katrina, are you talking about native bees versus the honeybees?
What do we have in our yards here in California?
Well, here we have a lot of native bees. We are very fortunate to live in California. We have a plethora of native bees. Native bees are different from honeybees. Honeybees are social, so that means they need to live as a family. So they need to have a queen, they need to have workers, you need to have drones for the colony, the family, to survive. Native bees, they are solitary bees. So only the queens lay eggs in the spring, take care of those babies, and then they are all individual, they all alone, and they do their own thing and pollinate plants. But they're not domesticated that like the honeybees.
So they all have, I don't know the correct word to use, would it be they all have the different characteristics?
They do, but they are needed because they pollinate in different fashion. We've got some native bees, for instance, that the blue orchard bees, for instance, is used usually in orchard because she is dedicated to that kind of crop. She's very good and efficient at this thing. We have bumblebees. People forget that the native bees are bumblebees, and bumblebees pollinate in a different fashion than the honeybee. The honeybee will go in the plant and in the flower center and then out. The bumblebee, because of its size, goes inside the center of the flower and sits there and buzz. So all the pollen gets all on her, and it's called buzz pollination. So she's very good, for instance, everything that's cucumber, zucchini, tomatoes, peppers, she is very good. Actually, the bumblebee is used in commercial way in glass houses. That's what they use most because she is used to be more enclosed. She works very early in the morning. She doesn't look for the sun. She is efficient with those crops, more than the honeybees, actually.
Well, you know, there's so many different types of people that are looking for so many different types of things when we're talking about our bees and our population. I didn't really realize it. You know, a lot of home gardeners say, well, I just want to have my plants pollinated. Mm-hmm. And I want to be, and the reason why we want it pollinated is...
Well, we want to have them pollinated because it makes bigger flowers, it makes it nice, and you enjoy even seeing yourself the bees. I think it's nice to. That means your yard is attracting to the bees. That means that if you plant colorful plants, I mean, they like a lot of blues, they like yellow, they like flowers, they like colors. They will come. You can. You don't need to be a beekeeper to have bees in your garden.
So if we don't want to be a beekeeper, you said to plant colors in yards. I know there's certain plants that I put in my yard because I like the bees in my yard because I know I'll have a bigger bounty. I love my vegetable garden and I love my fruit trees. So I'm always trying to bring bees into my yard, and they tend to be very friendly, and it's a wonderful thing. What do you have any particular plants that we can grow around here that might help bring in?
Yes, I think the simplest thing that they love is herbs. So any herbs you can think of, they love it. Basil, thyme, they love those plants. Lavender, they love it. And this, you just plant one herb, they will come. They just enjoy that plant.
You know, let me ask you this. I tend to, with my vegetables, I'll plant some herbs. Mm-hmm. You know, just like a little bit of herbs here and a little bit of herbs there. And I think that brings them in. And then there's also some plants that I like to plant. And I have a blue basil. And that thing is always surrounded by... You know, I don't use the basil on the plant. It's for my bees.
Yes.
Is that a good one? Or
it is very good. And I bet you're not stung.
I'm never stung.
That's right. Because they are not going after you. They are going after your beautiful flowers that you plant or, you know, your herbs. That's what they do. They want to be where the nectar and the pollen is for them. They don't care about you, actually.
I could even be trimming the plant and they don't bother me. And I have that thing. It's amazing how many bees come into that plant.
Yes.
It's just wonderful.
And that's very good. And another thing that people can do in their garden if they don't want to be a beekeeper, they should offer water. People forget that honeybees or any bees, but that matter, and butterflies too, they need to have fresh water. So I suggest sometimes to people to just put any kind of container, shallow container, and to put little sticks or marble on the bottom and put fresh water every day and leave it at the same place every day. And you will see, you will have some insects coming to drink. And I say to put pebbles or little sticks, it's because usually insects, they don't see the depth and they can drown. So at least
so you want something that where they can sit
and then they can drink peacefully.
And those of you who garden and those of you who have vegetable gardens, this is just a huge thing. I mean, your bounty is just so different when you make it bee friendly. And it's beautiful watching them. And I've never had problems.
No, you don't have problems. I think people are a little afraid of bees because I think honeybees are lumped with other bees. And when I talk about other bees, usually it's wasps that are bugging you, us. For instance, if you have a picnic, it's not the honeybee that's going to come and try to steal your food. Wasps, they are carnivorous, so they will get you, they will try to get your sandwich. So that's what they do. And then you get bothered, obviously, because they are pretty aggressive and they don't die when they sting.
Do you have any suggestions how to deal with wasps?
How to deal with wasps? I guess you just have to...
There's probably a lot of different things you do. I have a thing that I hang up with some attractants
in
there.
An attractant, yes, but... I always feel that you attract more than you need. So it has to be way away from, you know, your at the corner in your garden. But usually we are bothered maybe in August because this is where they're looking really for sweet even because they know winter is coming and they need to gather some food, you know, to spend the winter happy.
So it's the wasp that we usually have problems with, not with our friendly little bees.
No, never with the little honeybees. I mean, honeybees, they are very gentle, and they are afraid, actually, of us, you know. And if we garden and we do a little rough movement, they will leave. They don't like to be bothered. They are doing their own thing.
I've just been amazed by when I'm, like, trimming a plant with... I have a lot of plants that attract bees because I like bees and butterflies and all kinds of critters in my yard. And I could even be trimming the plant, and I have no issue.
No.
I could pick up the piece and snip it, and the bee just does not want to have anything to do with me.
Well, this is true. And even if you have your own hive... If you want to be a hobby beekeeper, for instance, and you want to have a little hive in your own garden, well, there's steps that you need to take.
Okay, well, that's going to be my next question. But first, we're getting about halfway through our show. I can't believe it's halfway through already. But I need to do a couple disclaimers. And this is our little commercial time, Corrine. And I have to let everybody know that they are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And that the opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. Now, we're going to be starting a part of a show that I know Corrine is going to light up because it's about keeping bees and beehives in your yard. And that is her forte, and she's actually done training with us as master gardeners, And my husband's so excited. He's like a little kid. He is ready to do some beehives. And after listening to you, you motivated him. And tell us about, this is your forte is beehives, correct?
That's correct.
And why would we want to have beehives in our... I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions,
sure.
But let's start. Why would we want to have beehives in our yard?
First, you don't have to have beehives like we talked before. We can attract bees, any bees in our yard, just by planting and by attracting them with our water. From some of us, we are more in tune to having bees, really, because we want to care for them. So we can have actually a beehive. And a beehive is the housing for the bees, honeybees. A colony is the family. It's the same as colony. So you can have a hive yourself. I suggest you take classes because it's not like having a dog or having a cat. You need to know how to care for them, when to do things. Yeah, there's some things that you should know about before you have your own hive. And this is why I offered some classes for Master Gardeners. And there's a few classes, I'm sure, available around.
So people can Google.
People can Google and find, find some information. I would do not suggest you to go and buy a package of bees. I mean, a package of bees is 10,000 bees, and that's still a lot for a little novice beekeeper. So I suggest, to take a little class and have a mentor, too. That I think it's
One of the things you told me, or I heard in your class, that, it is a responsibility.
Yes.
It does take time. It does take energy. You have to be responsible. It's a wonderful activity to have, and it brings a lot of joy. But there is time, and everybody's not right for it.
That's correct.
And there's some people you need to find out about it if it's right for you before you do it. So do some research. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, I think you do some research and you talk to other beekeepers. This is caring for honeybees. Like I said, you just don't put them in the corner of your yard and you forget about them. You need to care for them as you care for your pets. They need, like I said, they need water. They need to be, the hive needs to be clean once in a while. You need to help them to survive because there are lots of adversities for them out there. Besides, sometimes here in California, I heard you have drought. So when we don't have much nectar coming in, you need to maybe look at that and be aware that there's not any nectar coming in, which is very important for them. That's their carbohydrate. They need that to survive. They need pollen. If there's a drought, there's no pollen in the flowers, and the flowers get dry, and there's less and less nectar. So we need to feed them. And feeding them, it's appropriate when there's a drought, for instance. Or if it rains for 10 days, they don't go out. So we need to be aware of this.
And what happens if they don't go out for 10 days?
If they don't go out for 10 days, they're going to start eating what they have stored, and at one point they will not have any more storage anymore, and they will perish, and that you don't want.
So do you feed them in those 10 days?
Yes, you do. This is why you have to go, as I suggest, to go almost every week to make sure your bees are okay. They're bringing pollen. You can see that. They come and they land on the little board, and you can see on their little legs they have pollen grain and different colors. You can observe yellow, brown, red. And if you don't see the bees coming in with any of that, you have to wonder, where are they going, and why are they not bringing anything? So you need to be aware of your surrounding. You need to know your environment.
So if we're having a drought or if it's multiple days with rain, do you actually feed them?
Yes, you've got to be, it's a fine balance because you don't want to feed them for no reason. We don't want to have fat bees that are lazy and not doing their own job. So you have got to check on their reserve. You look, do they have enough to go through? Because they could go through a lot of their own food if they stay 3 or 4 days in there. They can finish their whole storage that they have accumulated over a few months in a few days.
Really?
Because there's a lot of bees in there. We have not to forget. There's 50,000 bees. So it's fine when they all collect. Every day they go out and they collect and bring back the food. But if nothing is coming in, that means they are depleting their pantry. And you don't want that to happen because, they will not survive.
Interesting. Now, if I was thinking about having a beehive or colony in my yard, are all cities okay with it? Are there regulations?
Yeah, there are more.
And how would I find out about that?
Yes, that's a very good question. There's a lot of regulation, obviously, because it's not your common pet. You found out at your city hall there's ordinances. Every city is different, and you need to make sure that you are allowed to have honeybees in your own garden. Now, here we are in Irvine, and in Irvine, as a city, the ordinance specifically said that we cannot have honeybees in our own garden. But here, because we are a research center, we were allowed, because for educational purposes, we were allowed to have honeybees. This is why here, now we have 3 honeybees.
Gotcha. So we check our ordinance and find out if it's a city that you could have them, and then if you can have them, then you go to the next step.
That's correct.
And what would the next step be?
Well, the next step would be to buy packages of bees, or to have a beekeeper give you a few frames and you start that way. So there's different ways, but I suggest that when we are novice, we just buy packages. So those packages are made by the breeders, and they are bees that they put together from different hives, so they are not really related. They're not sisters. Few of them will be sisters and brothers, but mostly they are from different hives. So you have the first unit that you have, 10,000 bees is a accumulation of many hives. And now they put a queen there, and the queen is not, for the first few weeks, this queen is not the mother of those honeybees. Then when she starts laying eggs, they will be her babies or her children.
Now that's where I would get the bees to start with, but how about the hive?
Well, the hive is the wooden, so you're talking about the equipment. So the wooden equipment, you can make it. I mean, I've got some people that are really handy and they can build it. I mean, this is some people do that. It's a hobby. But usually you buy them in... we have online catalogs and places, and then you can either buy them all set up already, or you can buy them in planks and make it yourself, you know, during the winter. I know you've got stuff to do here in the winter, but in the winter it's always nice to have another little things to do.
Now, if you wanted to have a hive, is there a certain time, like Minnesota, there's probably a certain time of year you do it. Is there a certain time of year in California that you'd want to start this project?
Yes, actually, it's everywhere, even if it's in Minnesota, Connecticut, or Florida, or California. Bee breeders, they only have bees available for us in the spring. So they are making the packages in January and February. You need to order your bees by the end of February, anywhere in the U.S., the breeders, they will make their packages and they will send them around the country. And then by April 15, I would say, that's it. There's no more bees to have. That's it. We're done. They're not going to breed more bees for the season. So you really have to be careful with that. If you miss the boat, you won't have bees for that season.
So by the time you get your bees, you need to have taken your classes, you need to have done your homework, you need to checked with your city ordinances, you need to find a place to have, if it's okay to have bees, where in your yard is better, and you need to have all your homework done before, pretty much before you order your bees.
Yes, yes. You want to be able to, when you receive your package, when you get your package, everything is set up, your beehive is painted, you don't go there afterwards and decide to paint it. I mean, you know, everything has to be set up.
It's ready for the new baby. The nursery is ready.
That's right. Exactly. You have to be ahead because otherwise it can be chaotic.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you mentioned if you did decide to have bees and this was the right thing for you, there's certain you don't really put them in your front yard. You'd probably put them in your backyard. Could you talk a little bit about location?
Yes, I think because of this fear that's kind of a little bit out there, people are afraid that, you know, if you see the beehive, people are going to be panicky and not come to your house and visit. But to be fair, obviously you don't put a beehive in the front yard. This is not safe for anybody. So you try to find a nice spot in your backyard. I like a spot where you have a little bit of shade in the afternoon, especially when the heat is going to start up. It's always nice to have a little bit of shade for the bees. And if you don't have a tree, well, you can always build a little something.
Shelter.
A little shelter for the bees to be happy in the shade. Yeah.
Okay. You also mentioned to have like a little wall or something so the bees fly up. so they don't fly straight out.
Yes.
Did I hear that correctly?
That is excellent, yes. Because the bees, their flight pattern is to come out from the hive and go straight up. If you have a little barrier, maybe 3 or 4 feet in front of them, they will have to go higher. So that means they are higher than the people, and then you don't get bumped into. So they just go up, up, and not straight out at you at your level, and you never see them, actually.
Okay. Now, Corinne is doing a great job about explaining it with her hands. And so what I'm going to try to tell everybody, what she's explaining with her hands, is if you have the beehive, whatever level you have it, is a certain level you want to have it at?
Or does that
really matter?
It does not matter.
But you want to have some sort of screen or something within a few feet of it that's maybe 5 or 6 feet tall.
That's good.
So when the bees fly up, they fly above that screen and above head level. And so that way they won't be in your face or your children's face or in the dog's face or your neighbor's face, that they will now be going up above head level.
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
You did a good explanation about that.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. So we do that, and then you kind of love and nurture. How much time does it take?
Well, it's how much time you want to, I guess. But I suggest that we go and look inside the hive every week, and to make sure everything is right, everything. So you learn that. You learn that in your classes, or if you read, you need to have a progression. So if you put your 10,000 bees, well, at one point you should have more than 10,000 bees, right? The queen is going to start laying eggs. If she's happy, she will lay eggs. She needs food that come back from the workers. And if everything is good and the weather is good, the beehive, the colony, will grow regularly until, about 50,000 bees are inside.
You know what I really want our listeners to get is that it might not be, it could be a little bit labor intensive to start it, but once you start it, you still need to nurture it, and it's something you just don't let go.
That's correct.
That it needs, these are living creatures, and that you're putting a somewhat an artificial environment for them. Even though they're very comfortable in it, but they need to be loved and nurtured and taken care of on a regular basis. So you need to think about, is this really right for me? You know, through this whole process, it might sound fun, but if you have a really busy life and you can't take that commitment, maybe now's not the right time for it.
Yes, I think it's absolutely right. Honeybees, you cannot just leave and decide you have a vacation for 3 months. I mean, it's you need to have then somebody, a beekeeper or one of your friend beekeeper, that come around and check on them. It's not, they are not going to be okay by themselves.
Just left by themselves. Now, there's a benefit of having your plants pollinated, and everybody asked me about honey. Will we get honey from our endeavors here?
Oh, yes. I mean, this is one of the products of the hives. The hives, people forget, but there's not only honey that you get. If you have a colony, here, I would say you get about... The first year, usually, you don't have any honey. You don't harvest any honey because the honeybees are really, really busy building their nest. You have to not to forget, they need to... all the wax that's on the frames, they have to produce that. So it's very, very time intensive. It's a lot of energy from the bees to do that. So they make little scale of wax, and then they, with their little mandible, they will chew and make it, perfect little cell. That takes a lot of, not courage, but it takes a lot of energy for the bees to go out and do that.
It's kind of investment now for a future gain.
That's correct. So that's why, usually we do not have a surplus of honey, because the honey that we collect actually usually is the surplus. Bees, they do eat honey. People don't know that, but that's their food.
That's their food.
It is their food. We love it because it's sweet and we put them everywhere, but the bees eat honey as well.
So when you were talking earlier about they only have so many days supply of food if it's raining or if there's adverse conditions, is it the honey that they're eating?
It's the honey that they're eating, yes. And they also have, inside they have also pollen. And with the pollen, obviously they don't eat the grain like this. They have to make what we call bee bread. And bee bread is something that they masticate and they put some enzyme and make a little, we call it bread. And they put it in the cell, and they close the little cell, and this stays forever, and this is their protein. So we have steaks, they have pollen.
I love it. So the first year they're pretty much building, and this is for themselves. They're investing in their, because this is a long-term commitment.
It is a long-term commitment.
It's not something we show the kids and 2 months later we're done.
That's right.
It's we're going to have this year after year after year if we take good care of it.
Yes, and that's our hope. Yes.
Well, it was our hope. And then possibly in the second or third year, we might start getting honey from it. How do you know when it's time to get honey?
To harvest it? Well, you will see in the hive, first we, so we have, a hive is composed of, we have two brood boxes, so two brood chamber. That means it's two boxes are dedicated just for the honeybees. That's their house. This is where they have their babies. They put their food in there. So they have honey, they have nectar, they have pollen, and they have all the babies in the first two boxes, lower boxes from the ground. So the two boxes, that's theirs. That's their home. You never disturb that. You never take honey from there. Then now when the nest is all complete and all the cells are with wax and everything, so that takes about a year. Then you put yourself, you put another box that's a little shallower than the two first boxes. And this is, and you put a queen excluder, what it is, it's kind of a grid where the queen cannot go back up in the in that box, because I don't know about you, Katrina, but I don't like to have eggs in my honey. So it excludes the queen, but the workers can go up. It's a screen, and then the queen will stay low down below, and then just the honeybees will go up and put the nectar that will become honey, and that honey, it's the surplus, and this is what we can take for our own consumption.
And then we could check that periodically to see.
Yes, yes. And usually, I'm going to find out, I guess, in California, but I think they are more than once. We harvest in California more than once, because we have those exceptionally 12 months, you know, there's something going on.
So in Minnesota, it's once a year.
It's once a year. It's about August we do that, and that's it. It's once a year. We're done. And
but our little babies are working a lot harder because they're working all year long.
That's right.
Wow.
But in Minnesota, they have to work way harder because they know that already in August they get to prepare for winter.
So there's from what you're telling me, it seems like there's just so many benefits. I mean, you have your yard pollinated, you have your flowers blooming, you're helping the environment because we need more bees, and then in the long term you could have some honey.
Well, but not only that, Katrina. This is one product of the beehive. We can also have wax. We can also extract wax, and this is a premium wax. This is a wax that was used a long time ago in churches' services. They use that. That's why in monastery in Europe, you had a lot of beekeepers. The monks were great beekeepers because they needed wax for their candles.
So what is the difference between beeswax and other type of wax?
Well, the beeswax burned cleanly. It smells very good, and it burns slowly. So instead of a candle, you know, made in the manufacturer. This is all chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
This one is just pure, nice, doesn't smoke, and it's fantastic. So you get out. So you have wax, and so you don't, not the only have that, but you also have another product that's called propolis. And propolis is a resin that the honeybees go and collect from tree buds and collect all that, bring it home, and actually they use it as a medicine for themselves if they're sick. And also they use it as a kind of a glue, a cement that they will put on around their hives everywhere. If there's a little hole or if there's a little crack, they will just put the propolis there, and it's just nice for them, and it just helps them in their health.
Oh, there's so much to think about, isn't
yes.
there?
Yes, so not only honey. There's a lot of things we can gather from the hive.
God, Corinne, we have about 5-10 minutes left. What haven't we covered that you'd like to touch on? There's just so much out there. You would say people, if they wanted to find out more about this, they could go Google?
Yes, they can go Google. We also have a great club here that I belong to. It's about once a month on a Tuesday night. It's called the Orange County Beekeepers Association.
Everybody, did you hear that?
Yes.
Orange, could you say it one more time?
Yes, it's called the Orange County Beekeepers Association, and we meet at the grounds at the fair.
At the fairgrounds?
Yes.
The OC Fairgrounds.
That's right. That's correct. And it's at 7 o'clock. I believe it's the second Tuesday of every month.
Now, is everybody, are guests welcome?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You don't have to have bees to go attend. I mean, it's just they have a guest speaker, and they talk about the topic, and it's always, and you see people that will have bees or will not. I mean, it's a great group of people you can talk to about honeybees and in general.
So if you're thinking about having a beehive, or if you just want to know more about it, you're welcome to go down to the Orange County Fairgrounds, to the Orange County Beekeepers Association.
That's correct, yeah.
And if people Google that?
Yes, they will find out the location and the time, and everybody is always welcome. It's a very friendly group. You attend, and we learn from each other, and we also learn, you know, from experts that come and do some talks about different topics.
And I'm sure down there they would probably have more literature about it and tell
yes.
you where to find out more about it.
Yes, absolutely. They have a little library, so you can borrow books and that are specific to beekeeping and beekeeping in this region, actually, and so that's very good. And you also have some commercial beekeepers as well, so that come once in a while.
And you can find out if it's right for you or not.
Yes, and I think that's the main point that people have to really think about it. It's really fun to talk about honeybees. I love honeybees. I want everybody to have honeybees, but it's not for everybody. It's okay. You don't have to have them. You can attract them, like we talked about, in your garden. But if you are really an enthusiastic person and you really think that's something for you, there's two things. I encourage you to know more by taking classes, to join a club. That's very important because you have the support. And also the best thing to have a mentor, somebody who already kept bees and can kind of guide you through, you know, the first couple of years. I think that's very important for you, but also for your bees, for their health and their prosperity, because you don't want to have a bad time with them. You want them to be happy with you, and you want to love them. So,
yeah, and there's something right for everybody. You
absolutely.
Know, a lot of people don't realize how important bees are, and then once you get to the next step and how important bees are is what can I do to attract them in my yard.
That's great.
And some people are that's just fine. You know, my husband and I have been happy with that for many years. We did have a wild beehive in the bottom of our property for years and years, and we love that. But we've also enjoyed planting plants that bring native wildlife in. And that's really easy to do.
Exactly.
You know, that's not a commitment. That's just planting plants and watering my plants, and they will come.
Exactly.
And then there's the next step. If you really want to get serious and have hives in your yard, there's responsibility for it. It takes time. It takes energy. It could be a lot of fun. I mean, you light up. I mean, the people who do bees around here just light up. I mean, they're girls. It's kind of like our people who do chickens. They love their chickens. So if you love your bees, this might be the right thing for you. And what I think I'm hoping to do for people today is just, I want to say enlighten. You know, just kind of tell people what the options are out there, and if it's right for you, it's right for you, and if it's not, that's okay too.
Yes.
And it is right for you. There are places for you to go to learn about it.
Yes, and we sometimes forget, but we have great library system, public libraries, and if they don't have the book on bees that you want, they can always have it for you.
Now, I know we're going to get some stuff on our website, the Master Gardener website. Do you know if we have anything there yet?
Right now, we don't have much regarding honey. Bees. I hope to build that. It's slowly. I'm a one-person show, so it's starting slowly. I've got a lot of help, but yes, we will get there.
We'll get there. But in the meantime, we can Google or we can do the Orange County.
Yes, we can. You can go to the Orange County Beekeepers Association. You can email us, and we will be happy to answer your questions.
And there's also, you can go to our website and look at plants that do attract bees. If that's what you'd like to do in your yard, put a blue basil. You know,
yes.
If you're just going to get one plant, I would think of blue basil. That's one of my things that my bees go to. And if you just want to make it real simple, plant a herb in your yard and see how you can commit to that.
Yes.
You know, if that works out, take the next step to something else if you choose to, and that might be all you want to do.
Exactly. Just encourage the bees in your yard. I think that's the first step for everybody, and see how beautiful and handsome they are. They are really a good insect to have around.
God. Well, Corinne, I thank you very much for being with us today. And I think there's only one last question I have for you. Is your accent from Minnesota?
You betcha. No, actually, I came from France with my husband, and we've been living in the United States for 28 years now. And yes, this accent will always be with me. I heard that it's pretty awesome, so I will keep continuing talking that way.
Well, I thank you very much for being with us today. I think all of us Master Gardeners feel really blessed to have you as part of our team. And we look forward to all our bee classes and learning more about bees. And she's already said she will do more interviews. So keep listening, because there will be more interviews coming up in the future. This is Katrina with KUCI, and I thank you for listening to us today. And we all hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you.
Thank you.